Thank you, Dr. Boom. Thank you for the opportunity to present these results to you this morning. Title of this talk is Infant Rotavirus Vaccination Provides Indirect Protection to Older Children and Adults. So I've just told you the conclusions of my talk now. So these are quite surprising findings in a way, and in addition to what the title says, this study also demonstrates that there was a burden of disease from rotavirus in these age groups that we weren't really aware of before. It wasn't well established. And that these results also tell us something about how rotavirus is transmitted, because by vaccinating infants, it seems that these older age groups are also being protected. So infants must be particularly important in the transmission of rotavirus infection. So there you are. Those are the conclusions of my talk this morning. Let me go on now to tell you about how we came to these. So in 2006, the ACIP recommended routine use of a pentavalent rotavirus vaccine, Rotatec, which is given at 2, 4, and 6 months of age to infants. Both in preclinical trials and in post-introduction surveillance studies, this vaccine has been demonstrated to be highly effective. It's 85 to 100% protection against rotavirus hospitalization. And in 2008, which was the first year in which there was substantial coverage with this vaccine in amongst one-year-olds at least, all-cause diarrhea hospitalizations amongst U.S. children under the age of 5 declined by 46% during the rotavirus season. Major impacts in 2008. And it's been estimated that 55,000 hospitalizations were averted in that year. So the impacts of the vaccine have been established and are quite major. But it's also been clear from pretty early on that the vaccine program may also be providing indirect protection to individuals, children in the population who are not vaccinated. So two pieces of information, two pieces of data I'd like to, that support that. And the first is that there's been a decline in gastroenteritis amongst unvaccinated children as well. So children in 2008 who were aged 3 months to 2 years, so they were age eligible to receive vaccine, the reduction in those age groups exceeded what would be expected from vaccine coverage alone, suggesting the benefits are even greater than the number of children being vaccinated. And in addition to that, older children who were aged 2 to 4 in 2008 would have been too old at that point to have received vaccine. And there were reductions in acute gastroenteritis hospitalizations in those age groups as well. So that's another piece of information suggesting there's indirect protection. As you see on the right-hand side of the screen, there seemed to be a delay in the rotavirus season in 2008. So the light gray line, which is maybe difficult to see, shows the seasonality of rotavirus in the pre-vaccine era. And the minimum and maximum are shown in the pre-vaccine era in the dashed lines. The dark black line, the bold line, is the 2008 season, which you can see was delayed. The pre-vaccine era peak was in March. 2008, the peak occurred about two to four months later in late May and June, suggesting that mass vaccination is sort of slowing down the transmission process of rotavirus, and the season is occurring later. So there was already a suggestion of indirect protection and the impact on transmission from rotavirus vaccination amongst children aged 5 years and under. So we asked the question, does indirect protection of rotavirus vaccination extend to older children, adults, and the elderly? And implicit in this question is a hypothesis that there is a burden of disease in these older age groups, and that vaccinating young children will interrupt transmission and protect these older groups as well. So the data source we used was from the Healthcare Cost and Utilization Project's nationwide inpatient sample. It's a nationally representative database of U.S. hospital inpatient stays. For every record in the data set, there's a sample weight, and we know how many hospitalizations it represents nationally. There are approximately 1,000 hospitals that are covered by this data set, which is 20% of the U.S. hospital population, in 42 states as of 2008. And we analyzed records with an ICD-9 code for two analyses. The first was for an ICD-9 code of rotavirus in any coding position, because we know from previous work that this is a highly specific code. If rotavirus was found by was laboratory confirmed, then it is coded as such. But we also looked at non-specific gastroenteritis in any of the first three coding positions on the ICD-9 hospital discharge record. And that's because we know, particularly in older groups, if rotavirus is rarely tested for, and so we wouldn't find an impact on the rotavirus code, we needed to look in the non-specific gastroenteritis codes. And we compared 2008 to the pre-vaccine era of 2000 to 2006. Conducted a time series of, we analyzed data as a time series of monthly counts of rotavirus or cause unspecified hospitalizations, acute gastroenteritis hospitalizations. We fitted Poisson models and we controlled for seasonal variation because, like I showed before, there's a strong rotavirus seasonality and secular trends. And I'll explain in a moment why controlling for secular trends is important. We used a variable indicating the post-vaccine era to determine the relative rate in 2008 compared to the pre-vaccine era of 2000 to 2006. And subsequently, separate models were constructed, were fitted by age, month, race, census region, and sex to look at whether the impacts, the potentially indirect impacts, were different in any of these different sociodemographic groups. And when we detected a significant impact, we were able to estimate averted hospitalizations and averted costs, direct healthcare costs associated with hospitalization. So on to the results. This slide shows the rotavirus, the impact on rotavirus-coded discharges in 2008 compared to the pre-vaccine era. And to your right is the rate ratios, with significant results highlighted in red. So we saw significant reductions in the 0 to 4 year age group. We were aware of this already, with a rate ratio of 0.22 in 2008 compared to previous years. But new results from this study were that there was a major decrease in the 5 to 14 year age group as well, with a rate ratio of 0.29, and in the 15 to 24 year age group with a rate ratio of 0.35. There were non-significant reductions in the adult age 25 to 64 and in the elderly age groups as well. Now, before I move on to the cause unspecified analysis, I want to show you why it was important to control for these secular trends. And these are some data from another study looking at the rates of acute gastroenteritis hospital discharges over the last decade or so. So these are rates from 1996 to 2007, and each line represents a different age group. The top three lines are the eldest age group, 85 years and older, 75 to 84 year olds, and 65 to 74 year olds. And what you can see in those three age groups are major increases over the last decade in the rate of acute gastroenteritis hospital discharges in each group, increasing by about 50% over the decade. So I show you this because to demonstrate why it's important to control for these secular trends. There was a background rate of increase in these older age groups over this time period. But the results are actually quite similar to the rotavirus-coded admissions in that in all age groups up to the age of 24, there were significant decreases in acute gastroenteritis admissions in 2008. With in the youngest age group, The rate ratio of 0.61 in the 5 to 14 year age group, a rate ratio of 0.71, and the 15 to 24 year age group, a rate ratio of 0.92 in 2008. There were very little impact in the adults and the elderly age group. And you'll notice that much higher admissions in 2008 compared to the annual mean from 2000 to 2006 because of this increasing trend. So we saw major impacts in all age groups up to the age of 25 across the year. But we would expect to see, looking in the cause unspecified discharges, we would expect to see the biggest impacts in the previous in the historic rotavirus peak months, of which previously peaked in March. And that's exactly what we see. So this is now the monthly analysis, the monthly rate ratio starting from January in the age group 0 to 4-year-olds, comparing 2008 to the pre-vaccine era. And so that's exactly what we see here. The biggest impacts are in the historic rotavirus season, February, March, and April. Now, a similar pattern is seen in the 5 to 14-year age, which is shown on this slide, although it's less it's a smaller impact than in the 0 to 4-year age group. And similarly, in the 5 to 24 years, the biggest impacts are also in those months where the rota season used to peak. There are also significant declines in March and April in the 25 to 64 year age group, and the 65 and in March in the 65 years and older age group. So although year round there wasn't a significant decrease in the adults and the elderly, in the month in which the rotavirus historically peaked, there were fewer discharges than would have been expected in the older age groups as well. So from this, we estimated the hospital discharges averted and the costs averted due to these indirect impacts in the older age groups. And we estimate that the key figures here highlighted in red, in the 5 to 14-year age group, we estimate 8,500 hospitalizations averted, and in the 15 to 24-year age group, 1,700 hospitalizations averted over the course of the year. So that's about 11,000 of the total 66,000 hospitalizations averted occurring in those older age groups. In terms of cost, the proportion is actually a bit higher. About $42 million of the total $204 million of the costs averted were in those older age groups of 5 to 24-year-olds. It's about 20%. Now, one last result I'd like to share is how these impacts seem to be different across race groups. We see a similar pattern across across all groups, and this slide shows the rate ratios again in 2008 compared to the pre-vaccine years of 2000 and 2006. So the rate ratios by age group and by race. So you can see the general pattern is the same, that there's across all races, there's a major decrease in the under 5-year-olds, smaller decrease as in the older groups. But in Hispanics, the impacts were greatest across all ages, and there was a significant decrease across all age groups in the Hispanic population. So to summarize the main findings, in 2008, vaccination of U.S. infants against rotavirus provided indirect protection to older children and young adults. We estimate 15% of the 66,000 gastroenteritis hospitalizations occurred in the 5 to 14 and the 15 to 24-year age groups, and about 20% of the cost savings, the costs averted, were in these groups. Hospitalizations in those groups tend to be a bit more expensive than in very young children, so the costs proportionally are greater. Rotavirus-coded and cause unspecified gastroenteritis discharges were significantly reduced in all age groups up to the age of 25. Consistent with this reduction being due to rotavirus is the finding that the greatest reductions were in March, which is the historic peak month of activity in the pre-vaccine era. And this kind of curious finding that there was a larger impact in Hispanic populations. Now, one hypothesis for that would be that there's higher vaccine coverage in Hispanic groups, and so the indirect benefits are also greater in those populations. The data do not support that. Hispanic groups have coverage similar to the national averages for rotavirus and for other vaccines. What is different about Hispanic populations is that they live in larger household sizes, quite substantially larger, and those households are more likely to contain children. So our hypothesis is that by vaccinating children in these households, you essentially protect more older individuals and adults than you would in other race groups. So to conclude, this study indicates a larger than previously recognized burden of rotavirus in older children and adults. It tells us something about transmission of rotavirus in that infants are really key to sustaining community transmission, and by vaccinating them, you can prevent disease in older children and in young adults. And this has some implications, we think, for vaccine programming, particularly in developing countries where these vaccines are needed most, in that indirect protection via reduced household transmission may provide an important indirect benefit. I'd like to finish by acknowledging Manjula Shankar, Martin Meltzer, Jackie Tate, Manish Patel, and thank you all for your attention.
We've got just a couple minutes if we could take a few questions. I'd like to ask a question. Can you tell us who these adults are who are 5 to 14 and 14 to 24? Did you look at any other discharge diagnoses? Are these children young adults with multiple medical problems or with immunocompromised conditions?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't really know much about the individuals here. We're looking kind of on the population scale, and we don't know specifically which hospitalizations were averted by the indirect protection from the vaccine. So we see there's this decrease, and we see the decrease by 5 or 6% in those age groups. But it's impossible to tell exactly which of those hospitalizations were averted were due to the vaccine program.
And can you talk a little bit more about the mechanism of the protection within a household? Is it exposure to vaccine virus through stool shedding, or is it simply through decreased burden of disease in the household?
Right, that's a good question. So in clinical trials, there have been very few examples of vaccine strain being transmitted, and so the vaccine strain providing protection to household members. This is obviously an important feature with some vaccines, like oral polio vaccine, but it doesn't seem to be the mechanism by which the rotavirus vaccination would be providing indirect protection, particularly with the vaccine that was widely used in 2008. The Rotatec vaccine, the pentavalent vaccine, doesn't replicate very well in the gut, and so it's not believed to be very transmissible. Instead, we think the mechanism is that by protecting children from having severe infections and from having acute symptoms, they're less infectious, and so their contacts are less exposed to infection than they would have otherwise been.
Please step to the mic. Could you step to a mic, please? Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Since you showed that post-vaccine, the rotavirus peak has shifted a little bit, can you explain to us why you didn't include April and May in your analysis so you could see if it's really a decrease or it's actually shifting?
So I'm not sure I understand the question exactly. We looked at every month. You mean in looking at the impacts by month. Is that your question?
You showed that the biggest decrease was during the previous rotavirus peaks, but would that have made a difference if you had included April and May?
Right. So in the main results I present, that was the year; those are the year-round figures. So across the year, there were these reductions in all the age groups up to age 25. I mean, one possibility is that if the season was shifting 3 or 4 months, you'd actually see an increase in the summer months, or when the new rotavirus vaccine, rotavirus infection peak is occurring, but we didn't see that. We didn't see an increase in May and June, where at least in 2008 is when the season was occurring.
Thank you so much. Those are great questions.